Hello, my name is Adrian Westney Jr., and I would like to welcome you to another edition of The More Abundant Life. The More Abundant Life is a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wendley Phipps. And today's message, which will be number 185 in our series, was presented by Pastor Phipps to the Seabrook Church on Mother's Day in the year 2000. This message is entitled A Mother's Training. It's one that I'm sure you're going to receive some new insights on. It's going to give you something to think about. And at the conclusion of the message, I'm sure that you will have something you can put into action in your life right away, right now. So stay tuned with us and enjoy the program today here on The More Abundant Life. As usual, we have music for you. Here's music from Wendley Phipps, a song entitled Always from the CD that's entitled The Power of a Dream.
Just seems your world is falling all around. No need to fear, I'll still be there to love you when your friends are gone. And it just seems like you've been fighting all alone. I'll dry the tear, I'll still be there to love you. Even though sometimes you feel it hurts to be alone, but I know
have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 17. The book of Luke, I want to read verse 11. The word of God says, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. A And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then said Jesus, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Praise God. I struggled with what to entitle this message today. But I think I'll just call it a mother's training.
All right.
A mother's training. All right. On his last journey to Jerusalem, our Lord, in compassion, turned his eyes to see a sad and pathetic sight. There on the road leading to Galilee was a scene not uncommon for those times. Traveling together, huddled close to each other, was a band of 10 men. And we often see them as nameless and faceless. But those 10 men were 10 sons who had mothers somewhere, praying mothers. 10 men who were afflicted with that dreaded disease called leprosy. 10 mothers' sons huddled together, ravaged and tormented by the most savage and grievous illness of their time. For them, there was never any room in the inn. For them, no credit card was welcomed in any place of business. As they roamed the open spaces and traveled from city to city, they lived in hovels and caves. These 10 mothers' sons, have mercy, hung together, shared everything together. They laughed, they cried, they found refuge in each other's company. They found a sanctuary from the chilly winds of loneliness and humiliation. 9 of them were Jews. One of them was a Samaritan. But all of them were some mother's son. Jesus, have mercy. Their ethnicity made them enemies, but their sickness made them friends. Sickness has a way of shucking off all pretense from the human spirit, and it makes brothers of adversaries. Have mercy, Jesus. Sickness will make men think higher thoughts, thoughts of brotherhood and tolerance and understanding. Well, the word had reached these 10 lepers that Jesus was not very far away. And they remembered how someone had said and someone had testified that in his presence there was healing for all manner of diseases. Now, it's difficult for us to fully appreciate the compelling power of this word of hope because we've never been lepers. But when you are a leper and you hear that there's someone who can heal a leper. Yeah. That is a compelling word of hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perhaps you would first have to be a leper to really understand the power of such a rumor. Amongst this dying, forgotten community, the promise of healing was almost too good to believe. For them, this promise of healing carried with it an immense hope of staggering proportion that in Christ and through Christ, even lepers could be healed. And as they drew near to Jesus, the crowd that had gathered barred him from their view. And as lepers, they well knew the rules of engagement. You see, among the Jews of that time, leprosy was regarded as the most serious living judgment that can be handed down. It was the most serious judgment God could inflict upon the living. It was seen as a stroke of divine judgment. Any person who had leprosy was treated as though he were dead while he lived. If you had leprosy, you were shut out from the city. You were forced to live in the wild. If you were a leper, whatever you touched was unclean. Even the air you breathed, you polluted. If you were a leper, you were under all of the restrictions found in Leviticus 13. And I've got to tell you, I read over those restrictions, and I was shaken. I want you to be shaken, so open your Bible. Leviticus 13, the whole chapter dealt with the rules of engagement for lepers. And I'm going to read from the Living Bible. It's a very clear translation for me, or transliteration. And let me read verse 1. Then the Lord gave more instructions to Moses and Aaron for the people of Israel. When anyone has a swelling, a scab, a rash, or a bright red spot on his skin, it would be and could be the beginning of a leprous disease. So he should see Aaron, the high priest, or one of his sons. The priest is to examine the sore, not the doctor, the priest. Oh, I sure hope that priest got it right.
That's right. Amen.
The priest is to examine the man's sore. And verse 3, if the hair in the sore has turned white and the sore appears to be deeper than the rest of the skin, it is a leprous disease, and the priest is to pronounce him unclean. But if the white spot does not appear to be deeper than the rest of the skin, and the hair in it has not turned white, the priest is to isolate the man for 7 days. And on the seventh day, the priest is to examine him again. And if the sore looks the same and has not spread, he is to isolate him for another 7 days. If the priest is to examine him again on the seventh day, and if the sore has faded and has not spread, the priest is to pronounce him clean.
All right.
It was only a rash. And verse 9 says, if anyone has a skin problem of any kind that looks like a disease, he must show himself to the priest. Verse 18, if someone has a boil and it heals, but then a white swelling or a reddish white spot appears where the boil was, he is to go to see the priest. Verse 24, if a person gets burned and the raw flesh becomes white or red, the priest had to do a lot of sore examining. All sores had to be examined by the priest. But the one that shook me up was verse 40, and you'll understand why. Because it said, when a man lost his hair. And is bald, he is ritually clean. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And verse 41, if he has lost his hair, and only the front part of his head is bald, he is also clean. Somebody ought to say amen up in here today.
Amen.
And verse 42, but if he has a reddish white sore on the bald spot, the priest is to examine him. And if the sore on the bald spot is truly reddish white and proves to be a leprous disease, he is to pronounce the man unclean because of it. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Not even kings and rulers were exempt. The king king who contracted leprosy had to give up his throne. If you were a leper, you were considered unapproachable. Your home was in the rocks. And you had, even the air that you breathed. How can I say this? Lord, help me. You know, it's demeaning when people see you coming and check the direction of the wind to avoid your odor. Some folk do that in church. They see, are you with me today? And it is demeaning to a person when you see somebody coming and you start checking whether you got a mint. Help me, Lord.
That's right.
But now, people didn't become lepers overnight. One day, this mother noticed a sore breaking out on her son's hand. She didn't think much of it. Help me, Jesus. He came home from work, showed the sore to her. Mother, I got this sore. She, thinking it to be a superficial wound, most likely dressed it, cared for it. But 1 week went by, 2 weeks, it still didn't heal. She tried everything, it still wouldn't go away. Finally, she decided that it was best for him to go to the synagogue and see the priest. The priest, accustomed to these kinds of evaluations, took one look at it and decreed that this young man, help me Jesus, had to be isolated for 14 days. And at the end of the 14 days, this priest examined him and with a solemn voice said, unclean, forever unclean. For there was no cure. Immediate expulsion from the community. No time to pack. All his clothes were to be burned. But Rabbi, can I go home and see my mama one more time? No, no. Can I see my wife or my children? This priest's response, no, from this day forward, you cannot put your arm around any of your family. From this day forward, you're an outcast from this community. You're no longer going to be there to see your children grow up. You're not going to be there to see your children mature. You won't see your little girl get married. You're a leper. You'd never see your grandchildren. Oh, but this day, those 10 lepers heard that this man named Jesus was passing by, and hope swelled up in their breasts. And as they approached Jesus in the crowd, the people began throwing things at them to prevent them from coming any closer. Church, this small colony of lepers, desperate to attract the attention of Jesus, began to advertise their plight. Master, over here! All 10 of them lifted up their voices in a strained and strident chorus. Master, look this way! And they all began waving their deformities. Mercy, Jesus. Waving them above their heads, broadcasting their predicament. Master, have mercy on us. See yourself as one of those lepers this morning. Suddenly, one of your partners says, I see him. How can we get his attention? Another says, get out of my way. Starts running in the direction of Jesus with others right close behind. You got to see this thing. Because if you saw 10 lepers running in your direction back then, you were going to split. The people fell back in horror as not one, but 10 lepers running in unison. Have mercy, Jesus. Their bodies mangled and twisted, their forms disfigured and grotesque. 10 lepers, skin falling from their bodies like debris falling from a garbage truck. Dead and decaying flesh foul the air, their cries filtering through. The crowd silent. Everybody waits to see. And Jesus shatters the silence with those words those lepers would never forget. He said, go show yourselves to the priest. As those words of hope and power left the lips of Jesus, life and health began to invade the bodies of those 10 men. Are you with me today? Their flesh began to shine with the rosy glow of youth. Their nerves became sensitive again, their muscles firm, their rough scaly skin disappeared. A soft glow like that of the skin of a child took the place. The Bible says, and I love this verse, as they went, they were healed. As they were going, they were healed. As they were obeying the word of God, they were healed. Now, I've never been a leper, but I can tell you today that there comes a moment in your life when you realize that morally and spiritually, you are a leper. I realized I was a leper. I was an outcast from heaven. I asked Jesus to have mercy on me. I was a part of lost humanity. You know, God can't find you until you know you're lost. God can't save you until you know you're lost. I was born in sin, and so were you. I was shapen in iniquity. I was God's enemy. I was alienated. I wanted to be Sly Stone. I was estranged from God. I was trotting the path of darkness. I was in servitude. I was in bondage to sin. I was polluted. My mind had become polluted. I'm talking about myself this morning. My soul was unclean. I was spotted. I was disgusting. I was vile. I was blind. I was deluded. I was deceived. I was dead while I was living. Because without Christ, you are dead while you're living. My heart was poisoned. My will was rebellious. My imagination was impure. But Paul said, if any man be in Christ, even though he be a leper, he is a new creature. I stand to tell you today that the potter came into my life, picked up the broken pieces, and he touched me and made me whole. Oh, are you with me today? Sometimes like a moral leper, I stumbled. Sometimes like a moral leper, you'll stumble. Leper didn't always have his stride. Sometimes a leper stumbled. Sometimes a leper would falter. I'm sure those 10 lepers must have thought to themselves, Master, you telling us go to the priest? We've been to the priest. They told us it's no hope. But they took Jesus at their word. Someone said that as they went, before they had journeyed very far, they began to look at each other. Whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's, you remember that spot? It's no longer there. Someone shouted, I think I see a change. Hallelujah. Right before their eyes, as they went, they could see a change. Can you imagine that? Oh, I wish you could be there. Lord, help me to take you there. Just see yourself as one of those lepers, walking with the other 10 and then blinking your eyes as you see them healing up in front of your eyes and then watch them looking at you in disbelief. Say, you're being healed. Those 10 lepers took hold of a blessing because they believed the words of Jesus. Oh, but you know, this is the thought God gave me. One of those lepers determined in his heart to turn back. One of those lepers has been singled out by God in his word, all because of a mother's training. This leper's mother taught him to be grateful. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. This one leper's mother taught him the meaning of gratitude. When God has blessed you, when something good has happened to you, open your mouth and say so. Say, thank you, Lord. One leper. Do you think he just thought of it on his own? No, his mother had trained him. And because his mother trained him that way, he had to go back. Oh, wouldn't you like to have a son like that? He didn't go back and quietly discuss with Jesus his heartfelt appreciation. He didn't go back and whisper his gratitude in guarded tones. You know, some of us think when we get to glory, we'll be going around looking at each other and saying, aren't you glad you're here? Oh, we made it. The Bible says that with a loud voice, he magnified the Lord this morning. This morning. Did your mother teach you to be grateful? Did your mother plant a seed in your heart that taught you how to be grateful? Use this Mother's Day to magnify the Lord. Some of you have strayed from the truth. Some of you have broken your mother's hearts. Some of you are lepers who need to turn back and go to the feet of the Master. If the mother you had taught you something about gratitude, and you know yourself to be a sinner, this Mother's Day, the best tribute you could pay her is to walk on back to Jesus and say, thank you, Lord. I was a leper, deep in sin, far from the blissful shore, so very deeply stained within, needing, and couldn't rise anymore. Oh, but the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry from the waters, lifted me. Now safe am I. Did your mother teach you gratitude on this day? I heard of one brother who was so determined to find a way to magnify the Lord for his goodness. He went to the judge and asked the judge to change his first name to Hallelujah. So from then on, every time somebody greeted him, they had to praise the Lord. They said, good morning, Hallelujah. How you doing, Hallelujah? Hey, how's your day, Hallelujah? You don't have to change your name to Hallelujah, but you, if your God has been good to you and he's given you a spirit of praise and thanksgiving, the best tribute you could pay your mother is by coming back to Christ.
That brings us to the end of our program for today. I do hope that you enjoyed the message. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. Ask today for program number 185, which will give you the title, A Mother's Training. Well, join us again for another program. Until then, though, please remember the words written in John 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your